Today I'd like to speak to you on a text, Isaiah 41:10, reading from the Amplified, and also Hebrews 11:32 through 40 from the NLT. The subject of the message today is faith has an opposite. In Isaiah 41:10, reading from the Amplified version, states, "Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties, yes. I will help you, yes. I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice." You'll read with me now over into Hebrews 11:32 through 40, reading from the New Living Translation. "How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning, some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and opposed and mistreated. Some were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us." Whether we want to admit it or not, there is a battle that rages against humanity and especially those of the kingdom of God. The battle is a fight of faith. Paul's instruction to Timothy, his spiritual son, found in 1 Timothy 6:12, is really an eye-opening instruction, a heart-wrenching instruction, an instruction that took Timothy to flight in his prayer life and his actions and his practices of fighting the good fight. In verse 12, it reads, "Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses." You know, Timothy was a spiritual son of Paul, and he did fight the good fight. He went through a lot of trials and tribulations because of his youthfulness, but his faith was deep in the wisdom of God. And he really believed that God would use him. And Paul was consistently, as any good spiritual father should, he was consistently mentoring and coaching Timothy, encouraging him and praying for him, even when he was behind bars. When Paul was imprisoned, shackled, he would pray for Timothy, and he would want to discuss God's greatness with him through the written words that he placed in others' hands to deliver to Timothy. I like what Paul wrote in his final words, like putting a period on the final sentence of his life in 2 Timothy 4:7. He wrote this to Timothy, wanting him to understand in this letter, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful." You know, he fought a good fight. He fought that fight of faith. He fought for what he believed. He stood up on a foundation of God's word and prepared the hearts of many thousands of people throughout the known world at that time about Jesus Christ and about his love, his delivering power, his sustaining grace, and the depths and the riches of his mercy that would rewrite all the lives that would call upon him. He had finished that race. He had run to win. He had fought with the spiritual warfare weaponry that he had through the word. He tore down the kingdoms and dominions and the rulers of darkness of that age. And he believed God in all things, even through trials, tribulations, being without friends. He kept moving forward. He believed, even in nakedness, in peril, he believed that God would always be there for him. He remained faithful throughout his life, knowing that God had prepared him for the cause of Christ. If we would establish our lives to be like Paul and to be like Timothy, to reach out in prayer to God and trust in him and to believe in him and to know him for who he is and what he has for us, we would realize that the opposite of faith is that word fear, which causes an individual to stop, almost to be paralyzed, to start disbelieving what the word says, to start believing the lies of the enemy and the lies of people, to allow themselves to become saturated with negativity and the depths of fear that grips and holds and will not loose, almost like shackles that are bound with brass that will not break. But let me tell you, fear is the opposite of faith. It is something that will cause you not to be able to serve God and not to be able to pray and not to be able to hunger after the things of God. It will keep you from even believing God to go to church or to believe God that you could be healed or to believe God that he can take you and prosper you and he could remove the poverty that's off your life. He could take the sickness from you. Fear binds our faith and causes us not to hear what the word of the Lord is saying, even when it's spoken directly into our heart. Let me say this to you. There is a time in our life that where maybe we should take a moment and take the opportunity to think about our lives and to know that there are those that have spoken into our life and they've said things that are untrue. They'd say things like, give up, be afraid, you'll never make it, you cannot do that, you're not good enough, you don't have the education, you're too young. You know, I just can't believe at all that anybody that walks with Jesus Christ and knows his word and spends time with him in prayer daily, knowing that prayer moves the hand of God, and that prayer will be a song before God in the throne room of grace, how they could ever believe in those two words, give up. Never give up, never give out, and never give in to the lies of the enemy and the things that he would say to you that would cause you to back up instead of moving forward into the promises of God. Never be afraid of what's before you. Know that even as Moses went towards the Red Sea, and everybody, 2.5 million people that he brought out of Egypt after 400 years of bondage, began to become fearful. They began to complain. The elders of that church there in the desert at that time, with their pastor Moses leading them out of their difficulty and their bondage into the freedom and the praise and the worship of a holy God that had delivered them through the faithfulness of Moses and their faithfulness of crying out to God for 400 years. They came to the Red Sea, and Moses became weary of all the complaining and all the statements that they would die there in the desert, knowing that Pharaoh and all his armies were chasing after them. Thousands of men and chariots and horsemen were coming after them, led by Pharaoh to take them back into bondage. And they were afraid. They couldn't go to the left nor to the right. The mountains were too high. If they turned in reverse, they would walk right into the grips of Pharaoh. And in front of them was the Red Sea. So Moses did what anybody would do. He went to the Lord in prayer. But God simply told him to go forward, to lift up the staff towards the sea. and the sea separated, and they went across that sea on dry ground. You see, faith took them across. Fear would have held them back. So don't be afraid. You will make it. You can do it. You can do what God has asked you to do. God has promised to be with you always and never to leave you nor forsake you. He has stated, "Fear not, for I am with you." He has stated that he would never, ever walk from you, but he would always walk with you. He has stated to you that his hand would hold you. And he said, don't look around at the terror that's about you. In other words, in the difficulties that are there, don't look at them. They're there. There is terror, but don't look at them. Look unto God's promise and look unto what he has said that he would do. He would retain you. He would give you victory through his right hand of rightness and justice. I just firmly believe in my heart that you are good enough. All of us are good enough because we are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible declares that when we put on the armor of God, we are putting on Jesus. That when we've done all that we can do, we should just stand in the power of his might, knowing that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, to the tearing down of strongholds. You are good enough. You are strong enough. And you know, you don't have to have an education to serve God. When we look at the disciples back when the day Jesus chose the 12 disciples, they were uneducated men. I'm not saying education is bad or it's a poor decision. It's a great decision, and it's excellent to have an education. But don't base your relationship with faith on God by the education that you have or do not have. Base it on the faith that you have in God and in his word is a surety and a sure foundation that he cannot lie and he will always uphold you with his righteous right hand. He doesn't want you again to look around and see the terror and the difficulties. He doesn't want you to study them. He doesn't want you to bow to those difficulties and he doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to know that he will always be with you and do not be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. For wherever you walk, God will walk with you and he will keep you. You know, sometimes I wonder how people think about their age and they think that they're not old enough or they're not able enough. They don't have what it takes to do what somebody else that may have a few years on them can do. You know, I believe right now that the little boy that had that lunch that day, when he left his house, he was young. And he came forward and he saw the disciples, he saw the crowds, and he had a bag of lunch in his hand. But yet someone asked him for that lunch that day, and that lunch was turned over to Jesus. And by that, Jesus fed 5,000 people that day. You know, that was a step of faith by that young boy, just to hand over of that lunch and to know that he had done this because of his dedication and his total surrender to the question, would you share that lunch with me? I wonder how old you have to be to share a lunch. In other words, how old do you have to be to share your faith with others? I don't think there's an age limit to sharing faith. I believe there is a God who wants us to share our faith, and we should practice our faith, and we would be wiser in our faith, and we need to pray for wisdom, and we need to pray in faith to receive wisdom. So as we walk with God, we will walk with wisdom. So don't listen to those negative statements, give up or be afraid. You'll never make it. You can't do that. You're not good enough. You do not have the education. You're too young. Don't listen to those negative statements that make everything impossible before you. But listen to the voice of God, which states to you that you could do all things through him who strengthens you. In Philippians chapter 4 in verse 13. The promise of faith. That promise says, fear not. That promise says, I am your God. That promise says, I will retain you. I will sustain you. I will keep you. I will guard you. I will surround you with the angels and give you victory in battle as you worship me and praise me and go into battle realizing that I'm there with you and I will not ever allow anything to harm you. The enemy wants to harm us. The enemy wants to take control and categorize our lives and put boundaries on our lives that doesn't allow us to dream big or doesn't allow us to want to move forward in what God has for us. And since he's promised us great things, the enemy wants to tear down what we believe and have us to be satisfied with the small things of life. But let me tell you something. God said that he would give you the desires of your heart, that he would walk through the valley with you, that he would meet you in the mountaintop experience, that he would walk up the sides of the area where he would give you pasture and have you to lie down in that pasture and lead you by the still waters of life where you could take a fresh drink with him. You know, his presence of faith is always with us because the Bible declares that he is always with us. In Hebrews in chapter 13, it states that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I like the words of the Lord because when you read also in Hebrews 13, it declares that God does not change when it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. It's a bountiful blessing to know him as he is. And so many people don't know him as he is. So many people don't look to him as he is. They look to him through eyes that have been deceived by the enemy of our soul or by people who simply want to be faithless, who want to live without faith. They want to live in fear. It seems as though they're comfortable in their fear. But I'll tell you today, it's much better to live by faith and not by sight. You know, you really can't really live by faith till you begin to see the invisible, till you really believe that what God has stated is true. You know, faith has that opposite, and that opposite is fear. Don't embrace the opposite, but embrace faith. Don't look around you, and don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't stop and begin to see the giants in the land as they did in Numbers 13. But be like Caleb and be like Joshua, who simply believed no matter what they saw wasn't going to stop them from getting what God promised. They said they are more than able to take that land. And I believe that you are more than able to take hold of what God has given you and what he has promised you. You know, I love what he said to Joshua in Joshua 1:9. He said, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I like it because it literally states a command. You know, to be faithful is not an invitation. It's a command. It's impossible to please God without faith. We have to understand that when God gives us a command, his expectancy, his desire, and his hope, and his will is that we will obey that command like Joshua did. He was strong. He was courageous. He led the people into the promised land. He didn't get discouraged. He moved forward. And oh yes, he made some mistakes. And yes, he made some decisions without prayer, but he always went back to God and he always was true to God because of faith. He realized that God was with him wherever he would go. And I like it because God promises that he will strengthen you. He will strengthen us together. He will strengthen the church. He will strengthen the Bible studies. He will strengthen the individual prayer meetings. He will strengthen the individual himself. He will be there with them, and he will keep you in the very palm of his hand where no man can pluck you out. He will surround you with angels and deliver you out of all your trouble. He will send the angels before you. He will have the angels of the Lord guarding on your right and on your left. He will allow you to have the shield of faith, which will quench every fiery dart of the enemy. He wants you to have the testimony of faith, that testimony that will overcome the testimonies of fear. You know, I like what it says that in the Bible where it talks about faith and how faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It gives us the historical text of faith through Hebrews 11. As I read earlier in this message where we talked about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets and how these overthrew kingdoms and how they continued in faith, not wanting to stop and not wanting to give up. They had testimonies of faith. It would take too long to recount all the many testimonies of faith that we read about in God's Word and how many of these that we talked about already in Hebrews 11 were not afraid to die for the cause of Christ. They were not afraid to be chained in prisons. They continued to believe God in everything. And I trust that all of us would do the same if we would seek the face of God and pray with faith, pray with a heart of faith, words of faith, a mind of faith, and trusting and knowing. You know, we could have a good reputation as they spoke of there in Hebrews 11 in verse 39, where it literally states that all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them had received the promise of God, for God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. Whether you want to try to fully understand that or not, I the only way that I could understand that last verse there in Hebrews stating that in verse 40, that God had something better in mind for us, looking back to the fact that this is why they did not receive their promise, but I believe it was a time of handing off the baton to us, having a testimony that we could take hold of to retain faith and to continue in faith and to believe that the generations after us would receive the promise that God had stated. Whether we want to admit it or not, there's a battle that rages against humanity and especially those of the kingdom of God. That battle is the fight of faith. And that's what these men and women did in Hebrews 11 and throughout the whole Old Testament and into the New Testament. And in these past years since the Testaments were written, there are people that have walked deeply with God and have walked in faith, had believed God for everything and would not give up believing. They would not believe in the negative testimonies and the negative statements, but they would trust in the ever-loving, ever-living God who stated to them that he would not forsake them, that he would continue in them, that these people would know that through their statement of faith, through their life of faith, that faith would recount the battles and that many times they would see how they were strengthened through the battle. They would have that good reputation of faith and they would understand that there is a responsibility of living by faith. You see, having a good testimony, even though the promise did not come to you, there is still a responsibility that we have to pass it on to that next generation. Pass it on to those that could hear our testimony and they would be encouraged. They would be strengthened. They would be comforted in their time of trial or their time where it looks as though nothing is going to happen. The terror is around them. The difficulties are all around them. The mountain seems too high to climb. The mountain seems too wide to go around. It seems that the difficulty is what is overtaking. But I'm telling you that if we would just believe and we would pass on that promise to the next generation, that there is a way and God is the way. God is the answer. God is the truth. God has everything prepared for us. He's just waiting for us to walk into what he has prepared for us and to walk in by faith, to trust him and to know that we don't have to drop the baton, but we need to run to win, to finish all the way to the end, to where we meet someone to hand them the baton, stating, keep going, keep believing, keep trusting, knowing that no matter what happens, with it, that God is going to be there. He is not going to cease to fulfill his promise in you. He's not going to cease in speaking into your life. He's not going to cease listening to your prayer. He wants us to pray. He wants us to seek his face. He wants us to call out to him and to cry out to him. He desires to hear our cry, but also we need a desire to hear his voice of comfort. You see, everyone has a choice to live by faith or to choose fear. But I'll tell you, he never gave us a spirit of fear. Fear does not come from God. The Bible declares in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 in verses 6 through 8, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. He's writing this to Timothy. Paul laid his hands on Timothy and he transferred spiritual gifts into his life. He gave promises into his life that came from the Lord, and he spoke into his life. And that's what he's reminding him of, to fan those flames. Don't let the fire go out on your faith. The Bible continues to say in verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. You see, we have a spirit of power that overcomes faith. Love, perfect love, casts out all fear. And we are to be self-disciplined. We are to be disciplined in our walk with him, disciplined in our Bible reading, disciplined in our prayer life, disciplined in our fasting, disciplined in our faith, disciplined in our attendance to church, disciplined in our relationships where we are faithful and acknowledging our friendships to others and declaring, and discipline in our gifts when God calls us and we use our gifts to share the word of God and to show God's great love. It goes on in verse 8 to say, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and do not be ashamed of me either. Even though I'm in prison for him, with the strength of God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. You see, we're living in a world today to where almost that verse 8 doesn't make a lot of sense to people. In other words, people almost are ashamed to walk with God. They're ashamed to show their faith in God. They're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Bible declares that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should not be ashamed of our faith in Jesus. We should not be ashamed of our Christianity. We should not be ashamed of in whom we believe. You know, we have to understand that even if we were in prison for our faith, that we need to continue to be strong in God and to be strong with what God has given us to share, and to be ready to suffer and to be ready to continue forward in our suffering and to share wherever we are, whether in prison or out of prison, whether we're in prison by fear where we should not be and we should be praying to get out of that. But if you're caught in that right now, as I'm speaking this, you can break out of that fear, and you need to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of his power, the good news of his love, the good news of his strength, the ability to take hold of what God has for you and to share it with others, to embrace that which will hinder you in prayer and paralyze you as you endeavor to move forward in the promises of God would be foolishness. We don't need to embrace faith. We don't need to be imprisoned by faith. We don't need to be imprisoned by negativity. We don't need to be imprisoned by lethargy or apathy. We don't need to be imprisoned by looking elsewhere for help where our help comes from the Lord. Our sustaining grace comes from the Lord. He speaks to our heart in Psalm 91 and tells us that no evil will befall us and no plague will come near our dwelling. We have to understand that he blesses us coming in and blesses us going out. If we read Deuteronomy in chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, if we're obedient to the Lord, we see the a massive amount of promises that are given to us, that we would be the head and not the tail, that our barns would be filled, that we would have food, that our baskets would overflow. You see, God wants to bless us through the obedience of faith. He wants to bless us so we won't be paralyzed by the disobedience that fear causes us to have. So I want you to know today that if you're looking into the face of fear, you can turn and look into the face of faith. You can look to the Lord and know that He will be there. Look to the hills where comes your help. Your help comes from the Lord. He won't allow your foot to be dashed against the stone. He will keep you no matter what. In the night or in the day, He will keep you. He will give you sweet rest when you sleep. He will give you a day that will prosper you. He will give you a life that will prosper you. He will give you a life of hope, and His hope fails not. You see, the enemy of our soul will work diligently and without mercy to destroy your testimony of faith. That's why when you read in the book of Hebrews that they fought and continued to believe, even though unto death, the promise that God gave them, they believed no matter what. They did not stop no matter what was before them. They didn't just cower to the enemy. You know, the enemy is like a roaring lion looking to whom he may devour. But we need to resist the devil. We need to resist him and he will flee. We don't need to bring into our life the things that would cause us to be in fear. We need to be reading the word, the testimonies of faith over and over and over. We need to be listening to the praise of our God in song and in worship. We need to be involved in church and involved in Bible studies, involved in doing good, involved in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would not live in fear, but we would live by faith, a life of power, a life of grace, a life that is full of God's love, a life that is full of the miraculous that God brings into our life, a life that says that we believe who Jesus Christ is. We believe that He is the express image of the living God. And we believe when He stated to His disciples, have faith in God, that we will see those things that we have requested of the Lord. There was suffering in the times of the Bible, and there's even suffering today throughout the world. But that doesn't mean that we should live in fear or we should give up. We should continue, even though that suffering brought death. And even though today we see people die throughout this world that are trusting in God, we read testimonies of men and women of God that have died because of their faith in Jesus Christ, but they did not give up. And we have to understand, and I believe this, like the Bible declares, they're just too good for this world. They've gone on to be with God, and they'll be with Him forevermore. And you and I have that same eternal promise that God has given to us. That promise is stated in Titus 1 and 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. You see, God cannot lie. God will not lie. God does not lie. He should not lie. No, He cannot lie. He will not lie. He will always be there for you and I. So whatever He's promised, begin to repeat that promise. Whatever you believe with all your heart that God has given unto you, receive it, embrace it, and hold it, and share it. Be ready to serve the Lord at any moment, at any time. Be ready to walk by the power of God's love and by the depths of His faith. Remember that they did throughout the Bible. That's why we see it in the Bible. That's why we read it in the Bible. That's why faith is so important. They looked to the promise ahead, willing to be ridiculed and pronounced as rejects because they believed God. You know, when you think of Noah and what he had to do by building that ark in the midst of an area where there was no rain and no water, no lakes, no ponds, no oceans, no rivers, he built an ark, and he built an ark that saved the righteous of the world during that terrible storm where God literally flooded the known world. He literally destroyed everything except for those on that ark and the animals that were brought on there. You see, he went through, Noah went through deep ridicule and mockery. He had people telling him that he would never be able to complete that. And what was he doing? He was the show of the neighborhood, per se, but he never gave up. He continued. He never stopped. He built that ark. I can go through story after story after story in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, as you could too as you read the Word, and you can see that these testimonies of faith were mighty and powerful and has caused us all to fully and wholeheartedly believe in a God who is true, the one true God, the one God who will not forsake us nor leave us, the one God that will keep us and no matter what goes on in our life, he will bring us through. You see, we need to place our life in God and put our minds on the hope of a better life, of an eternal life that was promised at the resurrection. We need to choose that good reputation of faith. We need to trust and believe that when he said, "Fear not," in Isaiah 41 and 10, that he was saying there is nothing to fear. Why? Because he is with us. He said, "Don't look around. You're going to see things, but do not fear. I am with you. I'm your God. There is no other God before him. He is the one true delivering God. He is the God of creation, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who literally gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that we would be saved. He said he would strengthen and harden us to the difficulties around us, that he would help us no matter what, he would be with us. So, you know, when you pray and you see God's hand move, that's so powerful and builds such faith. But if you pray and God doesn't move and things start to fall around you and things don't look good, I want you to remember this today, that God is with you all the time. If everything is falling, like I just stated, and if everything doesn't look good, he has got a hold on you. So after it seems to fall all around you, he still has you. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe he's your Savior? Do you believe he is your healer? Do you believe he is your deliverer? Do you believe that he is the creator of your life? Do you believe in the power of his resurrection? If you do, then you should believe right now, as I am speaking to your life today, that God will always keep you. He will not allow the opposite of faith, which is fear, to paralyze you. The only authority that you give the enemy of our soul is when you submit to his lies and his deceptions and you allow the fear to grip your soul. Let me say this to you in my closing remarks right now. Let me say this in all the power of faith that I can. God will always be there for you. He will not allow you to suffer in the pain of fear. He wants you to walk in the power of faith. You may not see everything complete, like they did not receive the promise, but they were willing to move forward and pass that baton on. Let me say this to you again. You may not see the fulfillment of your promise, but your children will. Your children's children will. There's a generation that is looking to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just as we are right now. But we shall not fail them in our faith. We shall not fail God in our faith. We should push away fear, knowing that that fear is not from God, but from the enemy of our soul. Remember, you will make it. You will see the finish line. You will have a testimony of fighting the good fight. You don't have to fear. You can join with the many testimonies of faith throughout the Word of God, stating that you have seen what God can do through those that walk in faith. You are part of that army of faith. You are a person that will walk in the power of prayer, the power of praise, and to have the persistence to believe God no matter what the difficulties are like. Just reach out today in prayer. Look up into the heavens today in your heart in prayer and simply say to God, God, I will believe you. I'll believe like Abraham believed. I'll believe like Noah believed. I'll believe like Moses believed. I will believe like David believed. I will believe because you are my God and you have stated that what is true that comes from your heart will come to pass, what you have spoken into my life in Jesus' name. I believe God. How about you?